Here it is a Saturday morning on CCO when we have our wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack. Welcome.
How are you, Denny?
I am staying inside for another day, I think.
Absolutely. Boy, oh boy. When we get cold, we get cold.
But it's going to be on the positive side today in the next few days.
12 degrees. It's yes. A veritable heat wave.
Yes, I'll be seeing people
will be running around the lakes in jogging shorts.
They will be in shorts. I guarantee it. Yeah. What are we going to talk about today?
You know, I thought we'd start out the new year answering. I get so many emails and questions about wine and that. And I thought it might be a good way to start the new year to answer some of those.
Good.
One question I got, do all wines benefit from aging? Absolutely not. There are very few wines, really, that age well. Fortified wines generally do. By fortified wines, we mean wines that brandy has been added to or alcohol has been added to in the production of, like a sherry or a port or a Madeira. Those wines take age beautifully. Usually, the real key to it is the expense of a wine. If a wine is fairly expensive, a red wine that is, generally it takes age fairly well. And wines don't last interminably. They all are living things, and they're going to die someday. Maybe some of them won't die for 100 years. Some will die in 5 years. Most wines that you buy in the store, say for under $15, you don't want to age those at all. Couple 3 years old is plenty old for those kind of wines. The only ones you want to age, if you bought a very expensive old Bordeaux or a great Cabernet from California or some wine like that, that you'd want to lay it down and age it. You have to be very, very careful of wines that you're going to age, how long they're going to last, because it's unpredictable. White wines generally do not last much more than 15 years. Now, there are exceptions to all of these rules. Like I say, some Sauternes, which is a sweet wine from Bordeaux, but last 100 years and maybe longer. They're really wonderful. But so all wines do not benefit from aging, and most wines should be drunk very quickly. As a matter of fact, some statistic on the matter, something like 96% of the wine made in the world is drunk the year it's made. So that gives you some idea. What about the wine glass shape? Well, there's another thing. It's fun to have a bunch of different shaped wine glasses, but the really best wine glass shape is to have about a 12-ounce bowl that you fill with about 4 ounces of wine, so it's only about a third filled, and that's good for almost everything. And the idea is, you know, when you test a wine or evaluate a wine, you look for color, aroma, bouquet, taste, and aftertaste. Well, you see, of those five things, two of them have to do with the olfactory senses, smelling. So you want a bowl where you can actually swirl the wine around a little bit and put your nose in there, because that's part of the appreciation of the wine. Now, obviously, you don't do that every time you take a sip of wine, have your nose in it. But when you're evaluating wine, that's what you do. So a 12-ounce bowl is the most important thing with wine. And always remember, never fill a wine glass more than a third full with wine, because you want that wine to aerate. And speaking of aeration, do wines benefit from decanting? Yes, all wines benefit from decanting. If you want to pour a bottle of wine into a decanter, that aeration just accelerates your appreciation of the wine, and the wine's going to taste a little better after it's aerated. So yes, indeed, you can decant any wines, from a $5 bottle to a $150 bottle. How long can I keep a bottle of wine that we've opened, had with dinner, and about half left? Well, if you put a cork in it and set it aside, it'll probably still be okay the next day. Sometimes people like to put it, cork it up and put it in the refrigerator. That's not a bad idea either. But the idea is, as soon as wine is exposed to air, it begins to change a bit. And eventually, if it's left in the air long enough, it'll turn to vinegar. Because the word vinegar is vinagar, wine sour. Sour wine is what vinegar is. So you don't want vinegar. What I'd suggest is you invest in something called a vacuvin. It's very inexpensive. It comes with a little bitty pump and about four gaskets that go in the top of the wine bottle. And when you put that gasket in, then you pump the air out and let it sit. And generally, if you've used a vacuum vent for storing a bottle of wine, that bottle of wine will last, oh, 3 to 4 days. Wine will not last very, very long bottled up. The enemy of wine is air. That's why the vacuum vent is so good. It takes all the air out of the bottle. Actually, you could reserve a bottle of wine. For example, if you drank half the bottle and you had a half bottle at home, fill up the half bottle, put the cork in so that the wine is almost up to the cork, lay it down. Yeah, you could go back 6 months, 8 months later, and wine would probably still be good. But the idea is you're really storing wine after it's been opened is a very slippery slope. And like I say, generally it won't last, even with vacuum vent, doesn't last much more than 3 or 4 days before deleterious effects begin to take hold. This was another interesting question, I thought. I'm having chicken. Do I have to serve white wine with it? Absolutely not. Those guidelines, white wine with white meat and red wine with red, are just what I said, a guideline. If, for example, if you were having salmon, most people say, well, it's fish, we'll have white wine. The best wine in the world with salmon is Pinot Noir. And frankly, an Oregon Pinot Noir, it'd be pretty good with a salmon grilled on the grill out of doors. It's a wonderful combination. So it really depends more on the sauces you're going to use. If you're having roast chicken, a red wine, a Beaujolais, or a light Burgundy, or wine like that can be just wonderful with roast chicken. However, if you're going to have that chicken in a white cream sauce, you might want a buttery Chardonnay with it, or perhaps even a nice Alsatian wine, which incidentally goes very, Alsatian wines go very, very well with any Pan-Asian cuisine. It seems to me there are a lot of wines to remember. What do I do about it? Well, if you're going to get into anything, you're going to have to learn a little bit about it. And with wine, you learn a little bit of geography. But, you know, that isn't so difficult. After all, we know about Maine lobsters and Idaho potatoes and things like that. And that's what wine really is, too. When those names on the bottle mean the area the wine comes from. And so you have to learn a little bit about that kind of stuff. Or just learn what you like. And then my best advice to people is buy a little notebook, and every time you have a new wine, write something about it in the notebook. By the time you have about 5 or 6 pages filled up, you'll know plenty about wines. You'll know the wines you like, whether it's Zinfandel or Pinot Noir, or whether you like a Riesling or a Gewürztraminer, or maybe you like Sauvignon Blanc. You know, you could stick to the wines you like. You really don't have to be walk around and be a compendium of knowledge on wine. In fact, that overdoes it. Just enjoy it. If you like it, drink it. That's the most important thing. Another question came to me, how much wine does it take to make a bottle? What does each wine's vine produce? Well, that again is all over the board. Wine vines produce, depending on their age and where what type of grape they are, etc. It takes 1 kilo to make a bottle of wine. That's 2.2 pounds. So it takes 2 pounds to make a single bottle of wine. And like I say, it's all over the board. Some vineyards, they may get 3 bottles out of a single vine. Some vineyards like Chateau Yquem, which is a Sauternes in Bordeaux, they get 1 glass only out of a bottle of wine, and that's a 4-ounce glass because it takes so much of the grapes because they squeeze them when they're like raisins. So there's no fast, hard rule how many bottles of wine you get out of a particular grapevine. There's too many variables to even think about that. But it generally, like I say, it takes a kilo of grapes to make a bottle of wine. What does the vintage on the label mean? Well, it's the vintage. The vintage simply means this is the year the wine was made. Are wines blended? Yes, a lot of wines are blended. But generally, blending is is not a very common thing. If it says Cabernet Sauvignon on the bottle, the wine by law has to be over 75% Cabernet Sauvignon. And so when the varietal is on there, that is the majority grape that's in that. That doesn't mean it's 100% Cabernet, but it means it, the most of the grapes that are in there are Cabernet. A lot of wines are blender's arts. For example, the Rhone Valley. They blend Grenache and the other grape types, Syrah, etc., in the Rhone Valley to produce it. And Chateauneuf-du-Pape, in the old days, it took 13 different varieties of grapes to make Chateauneuf-du-Pape. Fortunately, people, the rules have been relaxed, and some Chateauneuf-du-Papes might even be 100% of one varietal. So that changes all the time, too. And the important thing, I think, to remember when you're drinking wine and enjoying wine is just to enjoy it. You know, it isn't a study of lofty questions and lofty things. It's a simple pleasure in life. And like I say, it's always important to know a little bit about wines, but if you know a little bit, sometimes a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Just as I said, if you like it, drink it and enjoy it. And one last question, because I get so many on it, is what are sulfites? All wine is treated with sulfur dioxide. So there's sulfite, and natural sulfites are in the process of making wine. So there's almost sulfites in almost every type of wine there is. If you want to get rid of the sulfites, decant the wine. Have somebody who's not allergic to sulfites decant it. Decant it two or three times, and by the time you're done, the sulfites are all dissipated. But it's very, very difficult to find a wine that is 100% sulfite-free, because sulfur is so common in the vineyards all over the world.
I know you get that question a lot. And there's some great information today, Jack. Not that it always isn't, but that's good. The Q&A was good. Well, I tell you what, if you have any other questions, I know any one of those folks at Haskell's will help you out, right?
Indeed. They love to talk about wine. They love to help you pair wine with different foods on a cold night like tonight. You want to hefty, hearty meal, and you want a hearty bottle of wine to go with it, stop in and see the folks at Haskell's. Not only will they help you pick the perfect wine to accompany whatever you're going to prepare, they're going to help you pick a wine that will not break the bank. So stop in. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, Chanhassen. There's a Haskell's in downtown Excelsior in Faribault, right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed. Today, Saturday, and Sunday, you can park free in downtown Minneapolis for our store there. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com or go to WCCO.com/wine. It'll take you right to the Haskell's website, where there's oodles of information on all the stuff I talked about today, answering questions on wine, and also showing you the wide array of wines that Haskell's has available.
It's always fun to visit. Well, Jack, let's talk again next week if you have time.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Farrell from Haskell's back next Saturday here on 830 WCCO.